right, saints, here we go with another message from the Word of God. Wanted to take this occasion to say God bless you and thank you to all of you who are praying for the fruitfulness of this ministry outreach and supporting. In Jesus' name, amen.
Jeremiah chapter 26, beginning in verse 1. In the beginning of the reign of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, came this word from the Lord. Now here's the word of the Lord that came. Thus saith the Lord. This came to the people of God. Stand in the court of the Lord's house and speak unto all the cities of Judah, in which come to worship in the Lord's house, all the words that I command thee to speak unto them. Diminish not a word. So the command was given in the reign of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, that he and we are to what? All the words that I command thee to speak unto them, diminish not a word. All the word of God was to be acknowledged and spoken, and not one word was to be taken away or diminished of the word of the Lord. Verse 3. Notice now, diminish not a word. Paul said that he did not shun to declare unto the people of God all the counsel of God. He withheld nothing from them that was profitable to them. Acts 20, verse 20 and 27. Now, that's what a hireling will do. He will pick and choose what he wants to speak to people of the Word of God, and he will purposely ignore the things that might possibly convict them, the things of the Bible that he can't use and manipulate and twist to cause the goats to be entertained. That's what a hireling, a wolf does, is he picks little dainties or things that he can use and misuse out of the Bible in order to entertain people. Because those Christian people, whether in truth or not, those that feign to be Christian, most believe enough that the Bible is truth. So they're deceived and they swear that their pastor is preaching the word because he throws in a scripture here or there and misuses it, etc. And they're not in the word themselves, so they don't really know that he's purposely dodging numerous doctrines of holy scripture while he's just dancing around them and giving folks a little here and a little there that he can use to build his little religious empire or little religious business. So we're told to speak all the words of God that he gives us, and he's already given us 66 glorious books of his divinely inspired word. We're not to diminish a word. The Bible says in the last few verses of the whole of Scripture, Revelation 22, 18, and 19, that anybody who removes from the word of God, diminishes aught from it, or adds to it, will come under the plagues of Revelation. That those plagues, as listed there, tell us that one of those plagues is what? The lake of fire, eternal damnation. Anybody who removes or adds from the word of God is going to be found a liar, according to Proverbs 30, verse 5 and 6. Now, let me give a supplemental verse here. It's Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 2. You shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall you diminish aught from it. You shall not take away from it, minimize or diminish aught from it in any way, that ye may keep the commandments of Lord your God, which I command you. Verse 3, Jeremiah 26. If so be they will hearken and turn every man from his evil way, that I may repent me of the evil which I purpose to do unto them because of the evil of their doings. God is always going to judge sin because he's holy, holy, holy. And he said, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. If you sow to the flesh, you'll reap corruption. But if you sow to the Spirit, you're going to reap life everlasting. Galatians 6, verse 7 and 8.
Judges 1, 7 says, and Adonai Bezek said, 70 kings, having their thumbs and their great toes cut off, gathered their meat under my table. As I have done, so God hath requited me.
Sowing and reaping. Jeremiah chapter 26, verse 4. And thou shalt say unto them, thus saith the Lord, if ye will not hearken to me to walk in my law or in my word, which I have set before you, to hearken to the words of my servants the prophets, whom I sent unto you, both rising up early and sending them, but ye have not hearken. Then will I make this house like Shiloh, Ichabod, 1 Samuel 4, and will make this city a curse to all the nations of the earth. So the priests and the prophets and all the people heard Jeremiah speaking these words in the house of the Lord. Now it came to pass when Jeremiah had made an end of speaking all that the Lord had commanded him to speak unto all the people, that the priests and the prophets and all the people, three P's, priests, prophets, and people, took him, saying, thou shalt surely die. Jeremiah gave the word of the Lord and diminished nothing from it, as Paul said he did in Acts 20, verse 20 and 27. Now, what happens when you decide that you're going to preach and acknowledge the full counsel of God? Many of you are finding, as I am, and as remnant disciples all around me, and you, I'm sure, are finding, that you're going to have people that want to kill you. They'll assassinate you with their words out of their murderous hearts because they get convicted when you acknowledge the full counsel of God, which includes holiness, the judgment of God. It includes a mandate to mark false prophets, to warn true believers. Man, we have been lit up lately by some of these emails. We kind of laugh them off and pray for the people. Don't get me wrong. I mean, these guys are lighting us up, man. They get upset when you expose their false prophets that they have created a soul tie with, these people that are wolves, hirelings that are making merchandise of them and have preyed upon them successfully. Many folks get on our site and read some of these things that compare popular teachers to the Word of God, and they've been sending us emails that vicious condemnation. It's amazing how they always tell us how condemning we are while they're condemning us. That always amazes. But anyway, we're glad that they're reading this stuff and being introduced to the light of holy truth.
Judges verse, talking about Gideon and how he threw down the altar of Baal. It says in Judges 6:30, then the men of the city said unto Joash, bring out thy son, that's Gideon, that he may die, because he hath cast down the altar of Baal, and because he hath cut down the grove that was by it.
So, full counsel, Jeremiah found out, as every true disciple will, that full counsel preaching, when you decide that to let God be true and every man a liar, and begin to embark on the study and learning of the full counsel of God, leaning not to your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledging God, acknowledging the Lord and all that he said, you're going to be persecuted. Full counsel, belief, and preaching brings great persecution. They persecuted for the word's sake. Mark chapter 4, verse 17. Persecuted for the word of God. You can wear that as a badge of honor, beloved. That is a token of the blessedness of God and salvation in your life. The Bible says in 1 Peter 4:12 that we're to think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you. I'm personally starting to realize that I believe it's by the Spirit, based on a lot of Scripture, that it really, if you're not being slandered, really, how much are you really doing for the Lord? I would wonder about myself if somebody wasn't falsely accusing me or something. Paul said that him and other of the Lord's disciples with him were counted as being deceivers and yet true. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 8, by honor and dishonor, this is things he suffered, by evil report and good report. Some came up with evil reports. When you read Paul's writings, you see that he's answering to these people that are his critics, that are sowing discord among the brethren, that are lying about Paul, etc. Jesus told us when we're falsely accused, we're to rejoice. Matthew 5, verse 10 through 12, Jesus said this, a blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake. This is an evident token that you're really a child of God. Isn't that a blessing? It's an evident token that you're actually a child of God.
1 Corinthians 4:13 says, being defamed, we entreat.
That's 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13. And that kind of goes along with what Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, 8. He says, they were seen as deceivers and yet true. In the eyes of God and the true remnant, they knew the truth about Paul. He was a disciple of Christ. He was crucified with Christ. He was bearing witness of the true gospel, which he had received from the Lord Jesus Christ. And because of that, Satan and his emissaries, his human agents, were lying about Paul, even by the devil, the accuser of the brethren. But Jesus said we are to rejoice at this. Matthew 5, 10 through 12, blessed are they. You want to be blessed? You want to see who's blessed? Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. If you go into heaven, you're going to be persecuted. You're serving Jesus, the one who said he's the only way to heaven, the only way, truth, and life. Verse 11, Matthew 5, blessed are ye. You want to know who's blessed? Listen to this. Jesus said, this is the creator of all that is, beloved. He said, blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. They'll make up stuff. They will fabricate stuff about you. Man, if you're not getting some of this kind of persecution, I would ask myself, as we all should, examine ourselves, see if we're really in abiding deeply in Christ and obeying Him. If we are, we're going to be persecuted for righteousness' sake. We're going to be spoken evil of and falsely accused for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake. And then in verse 12, rejoice. What are we to do at this point when we're persecuted and falsely accused? We're to rejoice and be exceeding glad. Not just glad, but exceeding glad. For great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. That's Luke 6, 26. Woe unto you when all men speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets. So if everybody's speaking well of you and I, we can know that we're false. We're counterfeit. Because in days past, there's no new thing under the sun. Jesus points out that all men spake well of the false prophets during their day. Of course, those false prophets were now dead and in hell when Jesus spoke that. All right, we're reading in the 26th chapter of Jeremiah, and we found out that the priest and the prophets and all the people took Jeremiah, saying, thou shalt surely die. After Jeremiah had spoken the whole counsel of God and obeyed God by not diminishing anything of it, in verse 2 of Jeremiah 26, as the Lord had commanded him. Sounds like our day, where the Bible tells us that in the last days, some would not endure or hold themselves up against sound doctrine, but after their own lusts, would heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and would be turned unto fables and away from the truth. But nevertheless, God told Timothy through Paul to preach the word. Same message that God gave to Jeremiah. Don't diminish anything. Preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Again, no new thing under the sun. Ecclesiastes 1:9 tells us that which has been will be again. Men's hearts are still darkened overall. They love darkness rather than light. Listen to the children of Israel. This is the very people of God, supposedly, the covenant people of God who were apostate. Isaiah 30, verse 9 and 10, that this is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the word of the Lord, which say to the seers, they say to the servants of God, see not, and to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things, speak unto us smooth things, prophesy lies. We don't want the truth. We want you to tell us things that tickle our ears. Tell me lies. Tell me lies. Tell me sweet little lies. Like the secular song says, tell me lies. Tell me lies. Tell me sweet little lies. Well, anybody who has a heart for the truth is willing to endure sound doctrine. They are zealous for the truth. They're valiant for the truth. Jeremiah 9:3. Also, Jeremiah 5:30 and 31. A wonderful and a horrible thing is committed in the land. The prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests bear rule by their means. They work together in a conspiratorial union, that is, that we read about in Ezekiel 22:25-27. That's what it means when it says the priests bear rule by their means, by the means of the false prophets. False shepherds or priests bear rule and operate by in a conspiratorial union with the false prophets. And my people love to have it so. And what will ye do in the end thereof? The judgment of God is coming upon everyone who does not buy the truth and sell it not. Proverbs 23:23. Buy the truth and sell it not, the scripture says. Now, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, the Bible speaks about in verse 3 that the day of the Lord is not coming, quote, except they're coming falling away first. There's a great falling away underway. The corrupted new versions of the Bible are a great part of this falling away. They have given way to great heresy, just destruction and polluting of God's truth. Those aren't Bibles at all. There's only one English English Bible that's pure. That's the King James. Anybody who doesn't believe that needs to do a comparison for themselves. Don't believe me. I didn't say you were lost if you don't believe that. But I want to give you four verses here. Let me just take a little parenthetical moment here and give you four verses to go compare. Use your little trashy new version next to the King James. I don't mean to be rude, but it is utterly appalling what has been done in these new versions that are taken from the very few corrupted manuscripts. They're not taken from the 98% of the manuscripts that agree fully and are of God, Textus Receptus. All of the new versions, all of them, this is amazing, come from the corrupted manuscript. Unbelievable. Just absolutely got hoof prints all over it. Totally diabolical. I was going to give you the four verses. Go compare these four verses next to the King James. If you believe that there's other versions that are equally inspired or that you like, I want you to compare these four verses, King James, next to your NIV, NAS, ESV, NLT, or any of these other corruptions. Here they are. Write them down. Matthew 17:21. See if it's even in your new version. Matthew 17:21. Just write these down. Also, I want you to look at Romans 8:1. See what's missing. The next one, the third one of the four, is Colossians 1:14. One more. 1 John 5:7. I'm going to read those four real quick again, and we're going to go back into the Word. Go compare these four verses, Matthew 17:21, Romans 8:1, Colossians 1:14, and 1 John 5:7. Now, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, beginning in verse 9, we're talking about the great falling away here. 2 Thessalonians 2:3, and then verse 9 through 12 says, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. Why do they perish? Because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. Let me ask you something, friend. Do you love the truth? The whole truth and nothing but the truth? That's a big question. That'll determine whether or not you're of the Lord or not. Jesus said that he that is of God hears God's words. Ye therefore, he told the religious people, hear them not because you're not of God. He defined who is, quote, of God and, quote, who is not of God. Those who hear his word, which is truth. People are going to perish. Why? Because they received 2 Thessalonians 2:10-12, because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. Are you valiant for the truth? Jeremiah 9:3. Are you or are you not? He's telling us here that those that are perishing and are going to perish and go to hell are going to do so because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. You cannot be saved outside of the truth and outside of loving the truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, verse 11. And for this cause, that is because they did not receive the love of the truth, God himself shall send them strong delusion. God does not take it lightly when an individual does not love his truth and does not have the love of the truth. And for this cause, the fact that there are those who don't love the truth, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. God's going to send them a demonic delusion. He's going to release devils onto them, sounds like, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. And that is exactly what we see going on throughout history, including with the so-called people of God in Jeremiah, the servant of the Lord's day, the prophet Jeremiah's day, when he spoke the whole truth, and then the priests, the prophets, and the people took him, saying, thou shalt surely die. They were going to try to kill him. Many times Jesus was persecuted, so was Paul, and they tried to kill Jesus. God did a miracle and let him pass through all of them. Remember that? Because he spoke the truth. When Jesus spoke the truth out in the wilderness or the desert, after feeding 5,000 people, gave them what they wanted in the flesh, they all left. 5,000 men left. That doesn't include women and children. And here we go. The persecution that Jeremiah was under for speaking the truth and not diminishing aught from the word of God was that not only the priests and the prophets, but also the people said, thou shalt surely die. They were demanding his death as the people demanded Jesus, the truth himself, die. And therefore he was put on the cross. Remember that. Verse 9. Why hast thou prophesied in the name of the Lord, saying, this house shall be like Shiloh? How dare you, doom and gloom preacher? And when you speak the whole counsel of God, that'll include the fear of the Lord, the holiness of God, the judgment of God, all kinds of things that people don't like. And therefore they're going to call you doom and gloom, like they're basically saying here to Jeremiah. Why? Why hast thou prophesied in the name of the Lord, saying, this house shall be like Shiloh? In other words, God's going to judge us. And this city shall be desolate without inhabitant. And all the people were gathered against Jeremiah in the house of the Lord. They were gathered against Jeremiah in the house of the Lord. Get that picture. When the princes of Judah heard these things, then they came up from the king's house of the house of the Lord and sat down in the entry of the new gate of the Lord's house. Then spake the priests and the prophets unto the princes and to all the people, saying, this man is worthy to die, for he hath prophesied against this city, as ye have heard with your ears. In other words, he didn't prophesy what we wanted. He prophesied that if we don't repent, we're going to perish, just like Shiloh. Then spake Jeremiah unto all the princes and to all the people, saying, the Lord sent me to prophesy against this house and against this city all the words that ye have heard. In other words, he stood on both feet. He did not back down. He did not compromise. He did not apologize for the non-negotiable, eternal, divine truth of the Lord and all of it that God gave him to speak, that he did not diminish aught from. The Bible says in Malachi 3:6, I am the Lord and I change not. God doesn't change. His word was perfect from the beginning. It's perfect today and it'll always be perfect. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he is the truth. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Verse 13 of Jeremiah 26 says,
therefore now amend your ways and your doings, and obey the voice of the Lord your God, and the Lord will repent him of the evil that he hath pronounced against
him. And the answer that Jeremiah gave them in light of their rebellion is, go ahead and repent. Amend your ways. Repent and obey the Lord. Isaiah, in the midst of a wicked nation that claimed to know God, even Israel, he said that if they would repent, that God would bless them to be forgiven. Blessed. He said this in Isaiah 1, verse 18 through 20. Come now and let us reason together. They were full of sin. Isaiah called them to repent and cited their sins. And then he says, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. A lot of people that preach the hard truth of God probably need to start including the fact that God is going to forgive if the people will just repent. I believe that's part of the full counsel of God. We need to preach God is ready to forgive. Psalm 86, verse 5 and 15. And we read in Isaiah, the same book, chapter 55, verse 6 and 7. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found, and call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. We need not be afraid to preach not only that God is going to judge those who rebel and refuse to repent, but also that he will abundantly pardon those who do what? Forsake their wicked way and their wicked thoughts and return to the Lord. That's Isaiah chapter 55, verse 6 and 7. The full counsel of God includes the fact that God is not only holy, 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 and that he will judge all of the wicked, but that he will abundantly pardon those who repent. Isaiah 1, 18 through 20, Isaiah says to these backslidden apostate Israelites, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. That is, if you'll come in repentance to the Lord. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. In other words, God will wash them away. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. Amen. If you're willing and obedient, you're going to be blessed. You're going to be blessed to be a child of God and all the benefits that he said that we're not to forget any of. Verse 20. But if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. And that's what Jeremiah is saying here in the 26th chapter. He's saying, verse 13, amend your ways. He did not back down. And he's surrounded in the temple of the Lord by raging, murderous people who were calling for his death, because he refused to custom fit, manipulate the message of the Lord to suit the people. And that's exactly what hirelings do. They tell the people what they want to hear, not what the Lord says. They serve people, not the Lord, even though they feign to be serving the Lord. Listen to what Paul the Apostle says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I'm going to read verse 1 through 2. 2 Corinthians 4, 1 and 2. Therefore, seeing we have received receive this ministry. Now, you're a disciple of Christ. If so, you've been given the ministry of reconciliation, having been made a new creature in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17 through 20. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. Paul did anything but trust in himself. He said that he fainted not because he had received mercy, never forgot from whence he came, and how wicked he is, and you and I are outside of Christ, even this moment, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking. This is the opposite of a hireling. Paul said that he had renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness or manipulation or cunningness or deceit, amen, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, picking and choosing what you want to preach, but no, acknowledging the whole counsel of God and saying with Paul in Romans 3:4, let God be true and every man a liar. In fact, he said in Romans 3:3-4, so what if some did not believe, that is, don't believe the full counsel of God? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? God forbid. Yea, let God be true and every man a liar. Paul said that if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. Galatians 1:10. If we live to please men and we preach to please men by custom fitting our messages to make our audience feel good, as catering to our audience, not God, then we're identified as hirelings. The thing we need to do is stop this day and this hour and denounce any hidden thing of dishonesty in our hearts. Cry out to the Lord to create an us a clean heart, to renew a right spirit within us, like David did, to search us, O God, and know our hearts, try us and know our thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in us, and to lead us in the way of everlasting. And the way to do that is just what Paul said he did. Those that ministered with him, they renounced the hidden things of dishonesty. This is a good scripture to pray and to obey, to follow Paul's lead, to denounce or renounce all dishonesty from our hearts, and all craftiness, all deceit, anything of the devil, anything that's not pure sincerity and truth, nor handling the word of God deceitfully. We got to denounce that. And when I was a young Christian, I was saved in a aberrant group where the word of faith movement was entertained. And so in my early months and first couple of years in the 80s, when I was saved, I picked up on some false teaching. 2 Corinthians 2:17, Paul said, we are not as men which corrupt the word of God. There are many corrupting the word of God. And you and I need to be clean from this. God wants us to root out, to pluck down, and to destroy these things that are in our hearts. These are cast down these imaginations and all of these things that are high things that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God, the word of God, and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Denounce these things. I had to denounce the false teachings that I had espoused and then taught others. I had to denounce them before God, and then I had to go to people I had taught and confess to them this sin in specific detail of what I taught that was not of the Lord, that was crafty, it was deceitful, it was dishonest, it was twisting the word of God. I had to tell them that I had renounced that, I had repented before the Lord of being a false teacher, and please don't believe those false teachers. True repentance always brings forth fruit, meat for repentance, or consistent with true repentance, proving that you truly repented. So Paul says, but we have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, the darkness. God is light. There's no darkness at all in him, the scripture says. Not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully. How do you do that? Well, you don't preach the full counsel. I'll tell you what, it'll help you escape persecution, but then you won't escape hell. You'll be eternally tormented in the lake of fire. So you got to choose which route you want. You want to be loved of men, accepted, and get the accolades and approval of men in this life? Well, just pick and choose what you want to preach. But you're going to the lake of fire. Your damnation slumbereth not. You're a false teacher, according to the Holy Scriptures. But if you want to be Christ's disciple, no matter what it costs you, die to yourself, then what are you going to do? You're going to renounce the hidden things of dishonesty. You're not going to care how many people persecute you. If you've got to die a martyr's death, you're going to obey God. You're going to love Jesus Christ. Jesus said, no man can serve two men. You'll either love one and hate the other, or vice versa. If you're going to be true to God, you're going to denounce, renounce all hidden things of dishonesty. You're going to cry out. Jesus said, blessed are the pure in heart,
for they shall see God.
So those that are the true remnant disciples are dying to self. They are elevating Christ. Their whole life is all about Christ. They love Him with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. So they denounce all the hidden things of dishonesty. They refuse to walk in any kind of manipulation or craftiness. They refuse to handle the Word of God deceitfully. They don't care if people are going to like it or not. They speak the truth in love. Now, speaking the truth does not give us license to do it in a hateful manner or out of our own wrath. But we are to speak the truth, the pure truth. When all you preach is Scripture, then you can go to bed with a clear conscience every night. And God says it's very important to have a clear conscience. He talks about that over and over in the Scriptures. The end of the commandment, or the chief purpose of the Word of God, is what? Charity out of a pure heart, and love unfeigned, or faith unfeigned, and a good conscience. 1 Timothy 1:5. So we got to denounce all dishonesty that lurks in our hearts. That's what darkness means, or hidden. Also, craftiness, any manipulation, or any handling of the Word of God deceitfully, trying to think of what people are going to like and not like. So you're going to try to pick out the little things from the Word of God that make people feel good and don't convict them or whatever. That's all got to be denounced. But by manifestation of the truth, manifestation, or laying open, that means uncovering, revealing. That's what it means in the Greek. Revealing, expounding, dispersing the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. So this is what Jeremiah had obviously done. And every true disciple must choose to do is to denounce all dishonesty and do nothing but disclose the pure Word of God. So he tells them, these that have cornered him, to amend your ways and your doings and obey the voice of the Lord your God. And the Lord will repent or change his mind of the evil that he hath pronounced against you. God delights to let mercy triumph over judgment if we will repent. If we will repent. We see that throughout scriptures. We read earlier in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 14 of Jeremiah 26.
As for me, behold, I am in your hand. Do with me as seemeth good and meet unto you.
Wow, you see, he was abandoned completely to the Lord and willing to die for the cause of serving the Lord. This man is totally outnumbered by the priests, the prophets, and the people. Not only morale-wise, but also physically. His life is in danger. His life is in jeopardy. And he's given over to the Lord so much so that he's willing to die for the sake of the truth. What's it say in verse 15?
But know ye for certain that if ye put me to death, ye shall surely bring innocent blood upon yourselves, and upon this city, and upon the inhabitants thereof. For of a truth the Lord has sent me unto you to speak all these words in your ears.
All these words. He diminished not aught, verse 2, from any of those words. He preached the full counsel of God, as Paul said he did, Acts 20, verse 20 and 27. Verse 16.
Then said the princes and all the people unto the priests and to the prophets, this man is not worthy to die, for he hath spoken to us in the name of the Lord our God. Then rose up certain of the elders of the land, and spake to all the assembly of the people, saying, Micah the Moreshite prophesied in the days of Hezekiah king of Judah, and spake to all the people of Judah, saying, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, Zion shall be plowed like a field, and Jerusalem shall become heaps, and the mountain of the house as the high places of a forest. Did Hezekiah king of Judah and all Judah put him at all to death? Did he not fear the Lord, and besought the Lord, and the Lord repented him of the evil which he had pronounced against them? Thus might we procure great evil against our souls.
So they brought into the count the prophet Micah's pronouncement of doom and gloom and judgment to come, and then the people repented and God averted that judgment. So right here in verse 16, now they're saying this man is not worthy to die. So you see, some who persecute you will repent. They will repent. We're to preach the word and be instant in season, out of season, to reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all long-suffering, patience, and doctrine. We got to have patience and long-suffering. Some of those who are persecuting you now will one day be your close brother and sister in the Lord. Paul, Saul, is the greatest example that comes to mind. He greatly persecuted the body of Christ. He persecuted Jesus. Jesus said, why do you persecute me, Saul? And he dragged them to their death and beat them and became the greatest Christian in all of history. So be aware of that. Continue to patiently with long suffering to continue to hold forth the word of life without diminishing any aught. Now, what's it say in verse 20?
And there was also a man that prophesied in the name of the Lord, Uriah the son of Shemaiah, Kirjathaim, who prophesied against this city and against this land according to all the words of Jeremiah. And when Jehoiakim the king with all his mighty men and all the princes heard his words, the king sought to put him to death. But when Uriah heard it, he was afraid and fled and went into Egypt.
They understood enough to know that these Jews knew that if they sowed death, if they killed one of the messengers of the Lord, they were going to reap great consequences, great evil. They were going to procure great evil against their soul. Verse 19, the end of it. They were going to slay innocent blood, as Jeremiah said right here in the 14th verse. As for me, behold, I am in your hand. Do with me as seemeth good and meet unto you. Verse 15. But know ye for certain that if ye put me to death, ye shall surely bring innocent blood upon yourselves and upon this city and upon the inhabitants thereof. For of a truth the Lord hath sent me unto you to speak all these words. And Jeremiah did not back down. He held forth the truth no matter what. Very impressive. Why? Because he feared the Lord. He did not fear men. Now, the Apostle Paul said that if any angel from heaven even, or anyone came and preached any other gospel, did not disclose the full counsel, but preached or twisted the gospel or the word of God, perverted it or taught any other gospel, then he was to be accursed. Galatians 1, 6 through 10. Then he says in verse 10, for do I now persuade men or God? Who am I here to please? Who do I befriend first, man or God? Who's most important to me? Obvious answer is that the Lord is. Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. Anyone who is not putting God before men is not the servant of Christ. And any person who custom fits his message to please his audience instead of fearing God and simply preaching the pure contents of the Word of God is not of God. He's a hireling. If you want to know, we get phone calls and emails all the time. People asking, is this guy, and they name a name, or this lady, are they of the truth? That's the way you discern a true and false prophet, is to determine, stand back, and see whether or not they're simply teaching the scriptures. There's a guy named Lance Wall now on our site. A lot of people come on our site about Lance Wall now. We did a comparison of Wallnow's teachings to the Bible. It's opening a lot of eyes. And I get phone calls every week, maybe more than once a week, from all over the nation. People in email from all over the world. People wondering, how do they discern false prophets? Is this guy or that lady or whoever
a false or true prophet?
I always tell them, the first thing I find myself telling them is this person simply preaching the full counsel of God's word? Are they preaching scripture? Lance Wallnow's not preaching scripture. He's very slick talking, got a great personality, and all these other things. He's got a great vocabulary, but he's not teaching the scriptures. Therefore, he's false on that basis alone. That's a nugget for you. Never forget that. If somebody's not preaching the pure word of God, Paul told Timothy to do under the inspiration of the Spirit, they're false. As we see Jeremiah doing, uncompromisingly, even when it meant that he was going to die. See, the hireling flees. The hireling, Jesus said, will flee in John 10 when the shepherd is smitten or when persecution comes and attack. Now, Jeremiah 1:17, thou therefore gird up thy loins, God told Jeremiah, and arise and speak unto them all that I command thee. In other words, don't hold back anything. Be not dismayed at their faces, lest I confound thee before them. Jeremiah was threatened by the Lord, dismayed at their faces. He backed down anyway. God was going to confound him in front of them. For behold, verse 18, I have made thee this day a defense city and an iron pillar and a brazen walls against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, against the princes thereof, against the priests thereof, and against the people of the land. Verse 19, and they shall fight against thee. He had foretold Jeremiah this, but they shall not prevail against thee, for I am with thee, saith the Lord, to deliver thee. God promises to be with us, as he was with Paul. Paul said, all men forsook me, but the Lord stood with me. 2 Timothy 4:16-18. We fear the Lord and we obey Him, then God is going to protect us. The Lord is good. The Lord is gracious. He's our protector. At destruction and famine, thou shalt laugh. Job 5:22. And the reason why you can laugh and have joy in the midst of destruction and famine is because God is your protector and your provider. Let me end with this. Isaiah chapter 51. Isaiah 51 verse 7. God is talking to His prophet Isaiah, and He says what?
Hearken unto me, ye that know righteousness, the people in whose heart is my law. Fear ye not the reproach of men, neither be ye afraid of their revilings.
Fear ye not the reproach of men, neither be ye afraid of their revilings or the persecutions and false accusations, etc. What's it say in verse 12?
Even I am He that comforteth you. Who art thou, that thou shouldest be afraid of a man that shall die, and of the Son of Man which shall be made as grass?
Who are you that you should be afraid of a man that shall die, a mortal, and of the Son of Man which shall be made as grass? God told Jeremiah 12:5, when he complained, or he said, if you have run with the footmen and they have wearied thee, then how are you going to run with the horsemen? They got four legs. God wants us to mature and grow up in this matter and fear and obey Him, regardless of the consequences that it's going to bring. And it will bring persecution, but the Lord is always going to be with us. Listen to Isaiah 8:13. Sanctify the Lord of hosts Himself, it says, and let Him be your fear, and let Him be your dread. Sanctify the Lord of hosts Himself, and let Him be your fear, and let Him be your dread.
Well, brothers and sisters, it's been a blessing to spend these moments with you in the Word of God. And remember, there's hundreds of more Christ-centered, scripture-rich, edifying podcasts on safeguardyoursoul.com/audios. That's also a store page with several many books on there for your edification in Christ. They're all scripture-rich and Christ-centered. Also, tens of thousands of saints and sinners are being reached every month, and your prayers are coveted for the fruitfulness and supply of this outreach. God be praised, by the way, for those who are supporting. And feel free to visit our donate page on the site, and you can use your debit card, PayPal, or Patreon, and you can become a monthly sustaining member if you choose to do so, and a gift of any amount is so appreciated. Part of this outreach is to equip and supply other ministering disciples across our great country and all over the world. And may God be praised that there's fruitfulness happening among His people and through His beloved saints, as we know that the return of our Lord Jesus Christ draws nigh. And we say together in the words of Revelation 22, even so, come Lord Jesus. Amen.